Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. My name is Jack Reeve, joined with Mark Langdon and Dan Childs in the studio, and Paddy Power's very own Jason Murphy on the phone line. Mark, we're sitting very close to each other. We've both got colds. Does that worry you?
No, because I've already got it. The one I feel most sorry for is Dan Childs. We can cough and splatter all over each other if we so wish, which we probably don't.
No, we won't do that. Dan, good week, international break. Been a bit of a quiet one, or has it kept you busy?
No, fairly quiet. I normally focus more on the domestic game, so no, I'm glad to be getting stuck into that now.
Good stuff. And Jason, how's the international break been for you, mate?
Very disappointing being Irish. Obviously, didn't get the result that we wanted. Having a look at it last week, I probably had us about 8 to 11, 4 to 5 to qualify for the Euros. If we don't beat Denmark in the last game now, we go into the playoffs, and it's probably 5-1, 6-1 shot, because we'll be away in the first leg in the semi-final. We won't be, you know, probably the worst team in our playoff pathway once the draw is done and known. So a really disappointing week. Had high hopes going into it. You know, had I got a result in Switzerland, we could have, you know, started getting the summer sick notes ready. But yeah, disappointing week, really.
Well, all rather downbeat. What do we make of England through the international break? Mark, we'll start with you.
Well, the Bulgaria game was just a complete mess, sort of on and off the pitch, really. I do think the off-field sort of issues affected Bulgaria's performance as well. It just was a very strange 90 minutes. I probably wouldn't read anything into it, you know, just in terms of the future. The Czech Republic game wasn't very good. It's probably the first time since the World Cup, I think, that Gareth Southgate has sort of run into a few problems defensively. Michael Keane really struggled. Very surprised as well that Trippier remains ahead of Alexander Arnold at right back. I think that's the wrong way around. Probably won't see Danny Rose too often. I wouldn't have thought now. Chilwell looks like he is the best left back, and I think it's about trying to find that right defensive balance. The forward line's, you know, really, really good and impressive, and can do some damage in the Euros. But tends to be teams that win international tournaments, you know, given that it's long, hard season, it's this pragmatism. Even with France, with Mbappe and Griezmann, a lot of their football at the World Cup was about keeping clean sheets. And I think if England are to win the Euros, and they've got a fair chance because the semis and final are at Wembley, they've just got to come up with a better defensive scheme.
I mean, Dan, we were sat here last week, weren't we, with Liam in the studio as well, yeah. And we said it was going to be a tricky game for England, but we still expected them to win against the Czech Republic, yet we didn't see anything what we expected to see.
No, I mean, we lost and we deserve to lose, really. Czech, I was disappointed. I mean, as Mark's mentioned, defensively, but I thought the midfield was poor as well. Looking at Declan Rice's and Jordan Henderson's performances, and I think it's becoming increasingly clear that on the ball, compared to a lot of the other, I mean, if you're talking about England being a top nation and in the betting, I think they're second favourites to win the Euros, I think we are deficient in that midfield area. And the Bulgaria game, well, that was a strange game. Harry Winks came in and I thought did have a good game with the ball and without it. But I look at Belgium, you know, you've got the likes of De Bruyne, Tielemans, who's coming through. I just think that's an area, their midfield, where they have got a big advantage over us, and maybe an area where we haven't got the quality that we think we have.
Well, there we are then. The international break is over. Let us know what you thought of it down in the comment section below on YouTube, or tweet us at Racing Post if you're listening to us on the podcasting app. So let's get straight into the domestic action then. It's Everton versus West Ham. That's the early kickoff on Saturday, 12:30. Jason, what are the odds looking like for this?
We've Everton 10-11, the draw 13-5, and West Ham 11-4.
And Jason, West Ham, they've had a very good start to this season, haven't they? I mean, they must be confident going up to Goodison Park.
Yeah, all things considered, it's been a decent start. Obviously, got the hiding by Man City on the first game of the season. Bet United at home, possibly haven't kicked on since the Bet United. Drew 2-2 away to Bournemouth isn't the worst result in the world, but the kind of games you want to be winning if you're going to be looking at top six is, you know, those home games against Crystal Palace. So like I said, they've only picked up 1 point from two games since beating United, but that defeat against Palace was their first defeat since playing Man City on the first day of the season. So they are in good shape. They've a, you know, Premier League winning manager in Pellegrini, and very good going forward. Whereas Everton, it's kind of the opposite story now. In terms of attack, you know, they're just not scoring goals, conceding goals as well. They've the third worst record for goals scored in the league so far this season. So Silva's really under pressure. At those prices, I couldn't have everything at odds on, so I'd be siding with West Ham plus one. And if you're looking for a goal scorer, I'd look at Yarmolenko. He's 3 goals already this season. He scored 2 goals at Goodison Park last year, last goals he scored before he got injured for the season. And he scored on the international break as well, like, against Portugal. Defence fell asleep, but he was there to finish the cross. So I think West Ham plus one at odds against is a very good bet. And Yarmolenko, first goal scorer, you get about 10 to 1, I think it's worth a look.
Yeah, sounds good, Jason. Mark, I mean, differing fortunes for both these sides so far this season.
Yeah, I think if you have a look at it on expected goals, though, West Ham are really struggling and have actually overachieved in terms of match results, maybe to what their performances suggest that they should get. And if you look at Everton, 6 of their last 8 home games have ended in victory. So I'm not in a massive rush to oppose them, although I think confidence is low. And that becomes a problem, particularly with Silva under, you know, intense pressure. Now, I was just looking maybe at backing a West Ham player to score first. So I'm not quite sure who's going to play at centre-back. So just wait for the team news. But if it's a Diop or an Ogbonna, somebody like that, or maybe both of them combined. Set pieces, Everton have been an absolute nightmare ever since Silva went there. And again, Burnley just ruthlessly exposed that, and that they scored once from a set piece and probably should have had more as well. And that's the angle I'm going to take in a tricky game. So I'm just looking at who plays centre-half for West Ham, and I'm just going to back both of them combined anytime goal scorers.
Brilliant. Dan, I mean, you can talk about expected goals and all of these stats all you like, but at the end of the day, Everton fans are on the team's back. They're low on confidence, and that is a massive thing going into this game.
It is, and it's a game. It's not a game I'm mad about, you know, betting wise. But I'll tentatively go for West Ham or draw double chance. Or West Ham not to lose. I do think Everton will improve. I mean, they're not a relegation material side. Obviously, that's where they are in the table at the moment. They've had some tough fixtures. But you look at, you know, a lot of the stats are just stacking up against them. I mean, they've only scored 6 goals this season. That's the third worst, you know, in the division. When you look at some of the players they've got going forward, that's really, really poor on a terrible run. You look at the losses against Bournemouth. Sheffield United, they dominated the game and lost 2-0 at home. West Ham, their away form is starting to, there's a trend of it improving. They've gone 6 away game, Premier League away games since the end of last season, start of this, without defeat. So that's a good sign for them. And I think the Palace game, they did have a lot of good chance in the first. I probably should have wrapped it up then and then got, you know, the game turned on that penalty decision, didn't it? So I think they're a decent side, West Ham, and they'll get at least a point here.
There we are. Let us know what you think down in the comments section below. We're going for a quick break. We'll be back after in a minute to talk about all of the 3 o'clock Saturday games.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post, taking you through all of the weekend football action. Mark Langdon and Dan Charles with me, Jack Reaver, in the studio, and Paddy Power's Jason Murphy on the phone line. Right, let's get into the 3 o'clock games. This is a fascinating encounter. It's Aston Villa against Brighton. Jason, what are we looking like for this?
Yeah, we've Villa 11-8, the draw 23-10, and Brighton 15-8.
Now, Dan, Villa will be going into this with an abundance of confidence, won't they? A 5-1 win against Norwich before the international break. Looked very good. Wesley on the score sheet a couple of times. All players contributing to their what was brilliant play on the day. Are you feeling confident for Villa here?
No, not necessarily. I'd go with a draw. I think both teams have had big wins, haven't they? But I think they've probably say more about the state of the opposition that were in at the time than themselves being anything special. I just think Villa took advantage of a injury ravaged, as you know, Jack, Norwich side. Did the job really, really well. But I'm still not changing my view. I think Villa will be in and around the relegation mix by the end of the season. Brighton have been on a poor run before they played, come up against Spurs, who were in a terrible state for that game and did the job well 3-0. But I think these teams, being similar positions at the end of the season, I've got a bit more faith in Brighton possibly staying up than Villa, but I'll go with a draw here. Tight game.
Jason, I think John Terry said after their win against Norwich that result had been coming for a long, long while. Do you see Villa continuing their hot streak at the moment?
No, I don't, to be honest. The 8 points on the board from 8 games, but they haven't played anyone out of you know, four out of top five teams in the league. So they've had a reasonably easy run of fixtures. And okay, they failed to get the points against Arsenal when they should have, when Arsenal were, you know, had a man sent off. They've picked up points there now, but probably should have held on against Burnley after going 2-1 up with 10 minutes left. And like I say, Norwich had their injury troubles as well. So you have to definitely have that 5-1 taken in context. So for me, 8 points from 8 games, it's just about a reasonable start. Lot of business in the summer, but maybe it's starting to settle down now. They're on change, same starting 11s against Burnley and Norwich, so maybe Dean Smith is starting to get what his best 11 is. But looking at these prices, I think Villa are slightly too short, so therefore I think the value is with Brighton. Good win against Spurs, and I think Brighton's performances have been better than their results. So it won't be my strongest bet of the weekend, but if you were backing on this game, I think the value is in Brighton. If you were able to get maybe 2-1 on them, I'd take that.
Do you agree, Mark?
I'd probably rather back Brighton than Villa, but I think the draw is the way I'm going in this one. Villa have drawn half of their home games so far, but I think they'll give Brighton more respect because of what they did against Tottenham. And you know, Spurs were an absolute shambles on the day. They gave Brighton that goal inside a couple of minutes, and Brighton fully deserved the victory. I think the interesting thing for Brighton was that they didn't have much penetration in the team until they brought Connolly in, and he changed the whole dynamic of the way that they suddenly had a threat in behind, somebody that could really do the pressing game that Potter wants. So I think Connolly's going to become a really important player. He's only a teenager, and you know, the Irish fans were demanding his place in the team against Switzerland. He found it a bit tougher against them than he did against Tottenham, but I think he gives them Brighton something that I hadn't seen from them in, say, even because Murray holds the ball up well, didn't he, last season, but he's not really going to be Potter's kind of style of striker. So I'm more sort of got more respect for Brighton now than I did have, because I hadn't seen much of Connolly at all, but I still think they'd gladly take a point away at Villa Park.
More interest for Brighton this week then. Let's move on to the next game. It's Bournemouth versus Norwich. Norwich making the trip down to the coast. Jason, Bournemouth favourites here, I assume.
Yeah, just with the injury news, as we well know. So Bournemouth 4-6, draw 16-5, or Norwich 16-5.
And they'll surely be confident, Bournemouth, won't they, Jason?
They should. Like I said, injury news dependent, you know, depending on what team Norwich can get out. But Bournemouth have been doing reasonably okay. We know Bournemouth score goals. That's how they tend to stay up. We know that seems to be Norwich's plan as well. But away from home, they're just not scoring the goals. Only one goal in 4 away games, and that was the opening night against Liverpool when they were already 4-0 down. Now, Bournemouth haven't kept a clean sheet in the league this season, but like I said, with Norwich's troubles, the market really thinks the way both these teams play that there's going to be goals. But for me, I think possibly not. I think Norwich might struggle to score. I know you always have a chance with Pukki up top. For me, I'd probably side with both teams to score no. It's about 15-8. But if you are expecting goals, you think Norwich to get one and Bournemouth still to win the game, you can get Bournemouth -1 at the same price, about 15-8. And Bournemouth's last two wins have been by two goals, 2-3-1 wins against Southampton and Everton. So there's a couple of options there, but I'm always cautious in getting involved when there's a lot of question marks around injuries news. So maybe wait and see what starting lineups are like come Saturday.
Yeah, certainly, Dan. I mean, Norwich have got players returning from injury. Well, back in training anyway. Whether they'll make the squad is a different story. Timo Pukki scored a couple in the week for Finland, so he's hopefully got his goal-scoring boots back on. But at the same time, Bournemouth are a very good side, aren't they?
They are, and it's even though they've got a few players back, Norwich, I mean, I counted 13 players going into an international break carrying some kind of injury. And even if you get four or five of them back in training, you know, they're not all going to be fully fit as well. Some, you know, some will have been out for a few weeks. Going to take a bit of time to get up to speed. And the confidence as well, because of the run they've been on, the overall confidence level, I think, you know, and you've just lost 5-1 at home to a team you're going to be, you know, looking to try and finish above in the relegation scrap. That's a huge blow. And the injuries as well, there's key players at the back there. Zimmerman, I think a lot of Norwich fans say he's a key player at the back. Godfrey's had a hernia up. He could be a doubt as well. Hanley's got struggling. And that injuries at the centre of defence is a big worry against Bournemouth, who have got Josh King and Callum Wilson playing well. So Bournemouth, bank a bet of the Prem weekend for me.
I mean, Mark, we might as well be naming who is fit in the Norwich squad rather than who's not fit. Do you fancy Bournemouth as well here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there has been quite a bit of money for Bournemouth. Jason's saying, you know, 4-6 now. So if you want to back the Cherries, maybe the -1 could be the way to go. Norwich, you know, have been beaten by 2-0, I think, in three of their Premier League away games, and then obviously the 4-1 at Liverpool. I think what you do know about Norwich is that they'll keep chasing the game, and that could be to their detriment on the counter-attack. You know, Dan's already mentioned Wilson and King. So I think rather than back Bournemouth just to win, if you are looking to get a bit more juice out the price, it might be the minus one maybe the way to go.
Definitely. Not sure if it's worth making the trip down to Bournemouth now.
Oh, you'll go anyway, Jack.
Up next, Chelsea Newcastle. Jason, what are we looking at for this?
Chelsea 1-4, the draw 9-2, and you can get Newcastle 10-1.
Dan, I mean, Chelsea incredibly short. Where's the value in this?
I think they probably did deserve to be short. I mean, I wouldn't be, you know, lumping on them, obviously, at that price, but I've gone the correct score route. Chelsea 2-0. I think it's a reasonable chance of that happening. You know, they're growing in confidence under Lampard, 4 wins in a row. Newcastle, I don't think they'll get absolutely hammered, you know, concede a load of goals. You look at their performances against Tottenham, where they won 1-0, Manchester United, where they've dug out another 1-0 as well. But this is a lot tougher, I think. I think Chelsea are looking good things at the moment, the way they're playing for a top four spot, and I think they'll win this game comfortably.
Jason, are you going to be dipping into the correct score market here?
I'm going to go for a shorter price, and I'm going to go Chelsea just to win 2-0, because it's slightly odds against that 11-10, which I think is good value. Chelsea should be winning this game. They've won their last 4 in all competitions under, you know, Frank Lampard. He's doing well there now. Whereas Newcastle, they've 8 points from 8 games, but they've had a difficult run of fixtures. You know, 3 games away to Leicester, Tottenham and Liverpool, and then Arsenal and United at home. That's 5 out of the possible top 6, top 7 come the end of the season. So Steve Bruce, he's got 8 points now, albeit 6 of those points were in the games where you wouldn't have expected, you know, to win against Tottenham and to win against United. Over the course of the season, it's the other matches against teams around them that genuinely are 6-pointers. You can't be giving them 3 points and not getting points yourselves. So I say over the next 8 or 9 games, there's going to be a lot of those matches, and that's when Steve Bruce will really be judged come Christmas due to pick up points in the next 8 or 9 games after this Chelsea one. But I just think Newcastle do struggle to score goals. Their XG for the season so far is only 0.61 of a goal per game, which is really low, albeit it has been a difficult run of fixtures. But just at that, I see them struggling to score against Chelsea. So Chelsea to win 2-0 at odds against seems a very good bet to me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Mark, it does seem like Frank Lampard has got his boys in some kind of winning rhythm now, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, I think the fixtures have been quite kind in terms of the games that they've won. You know, so I wouldn't be going overboard. They've only kept 1 clean sheet in all competitions this season. So, I mean, you're asking them to... I mean, Jason tipped them to win 2-0, but I mean, looking at them stats, you're asking them, you know, to need to score a couple of goals to win matches. I think 4's on is a little bit short. I mean, Newcastle have already won at Tottenham, which is a similar standard of opponent to Chelsea, or it certainly was when they won at the new Watford Lane Stadium. I don't think people had sort of maybe seen the Spurs problems then. They've beaten Man United. They scored at Liverpool and took the lead, and there was some brilliant play from Liverpool that that did for them there. The 5-0 against Leicester was a joke performance, but they were down to 10 men for a long time, and the XG wasn't quite anywhere near as bad as the 5-0. So I'd certainly wouldn't back Chelsea or put them in the accumulators at 4s on. I think that you'll find safer 4s on shots sort of throughout the season. If you do fancy Chelsea, a couple of ways you may want to play it. I looked at Jorginho, who is Paddy Power very short on the penalty king. He's about, I think it's about 8-1 with Paddy Power. They double that elsewhere. I mean, he's just an absolute master. If they get a spot kick, you know, you can always just put it down as a goal. But Alonso, 25-1. Emerson's not back yet. So he's 25-1 to score first. Hasn't scored this season. He finished last season with 3-7. Any free kicks around the edge of the area, and we're expecting Chelsea to dominate, so even if he's left back rather than left wing back, I think he'll be pretty high up the pitch. That might be an avenue to a way of supporting Chelsea, but it's a no bet for me, this game, really.
Something rather special about watching Jorginho take penalty kicks.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Leicester-Burnley, this is going to be an exciting clash. Jason, Leicester-Burnley, what are we looking like?
Leicester 8-15, the draw 3-1, and you can get 5-1 on Burnley.
I mean, do you think that's a little short on Leicester, Jason? Burnley haven't been no mugs this season, have they?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I was looking at it on Tuesday, and Leicester were about 4-9, and you know, they've come out to 8-15, which is getting closer to what I think the correct prices would be. Leicester, you know, they've scored the 4 most goals in the league, and the second best defensive record in the league this season. But in terms of XG, they're probably running a little bit hot. And aren't creating as many chances for the amount of goals that they're scoring. If you look at that Liverpool game, they created virtually nothing. Mark alluded to it already against Newcastle. They scored 5 goals, but the XG was only about 1.82. Apart from the Vardy header, there was no real clear-cut chance in the game, whereas we know what they expect from Burnley. And for me, Burnley have had a very good season, bar maybe one bad performance away to Brighton, but even then they nicked a point. The 3-0 defeat against Liverpool, their worst result on paper, but it was a deflected cross for Trent Alexander for the first goal. Ben Mee makes a terrible mistake that is rightly punished, giving the ball away for the second goal. So Burnley have, you know, they've done very well starting off this season. For me, Leicester are still a bit short, so the value there is with Burnley in the +1 handicap at about 7-5, I think is a good bet.
Dan, it's really interesting looking at Leicester's XG because, as Jason said there, they maybe are running a little hot. I don't think James Maddison's maybe creating as much as people think down the left. Burnley, we know what we're getting from them, and they've looked good this season. Where's the value for you?
I would just edge towards Leicester. I'm not sure they're at the price they're at that I'll be sticking them in accumulators. But you look back to last season, I think they won at Burnley after they'd gone down to 10 men. You know, so that's going to be in their minds as well. Both teams. I mean, Burnley, you think of as a dour side, but they're actually scoring plenty of goals this season. They've scored in 7 of their 8 Premier League matches. The exception was against Liverpool. So the angle I'm going to go to just pump the price up is Leicester to win and both teams to score. Leicester scoring plenty of goals, but they've only kept one clean sheet in the last 7 games. That was against Newcastle, where Mark just mentioned that Newcastle were down to 10 men for over half of that game. So, yeah, Leicester and both teams to score.
Fancy Burnley, Mark?
Yeah, I do. I don't think I've ever said that on here before. Usually it's like, I think they are playing better this season. Ben Mee made that mistake against Liverpool, but generally speaking, they play very much mistake-free football and they make you beat them. Yeah. And, they've only lost to Liverpool and Arsenal. Leicester are 13th in the shots table and 15th in the shots on target table this season. And for this kind of, they're a free-flowing team, how brilliant Maddison is, and Vardy scoring loads of goals, that should be a concern, I think, for Brendan Rodgers. And I think it probably will be privately. I'm not going to... I definitely wouldn't back Leicester at 8-15. Burnley, I suspect, will probably go to frustrate and set up to avoid defeat, and that they may just be good enough to do so. So the draw, about 3-1, looked a decent price to me.
Yeah, a slightly tough one to call that. What could be a bit easier to call is Tottenham-Watford. Jason, how are we feeling for this?
Tottenham 4-11, the draw 7-2, and 6-1 on Watford.
And we'll stay with you, Jason. I mean, Watford certainly haven't had a good start to the season, that's for sure. But Tottenham have been shaky at times as well, haven't they?
Yeah, away from home they have. They've conceded 12 goals this season, Tottenham, but 9 of them away from home. If you look at their actual home results, 1-3, lost 1. So they lost to Newcastle, possibly should have got a result. But the other games, Southampton, Aston Villa, and Crystal Palace, they won pretty comfortably. You know, they were down to 10 men against Southampton, but other than that, they won the game. Aston Villa, they were a goal down early on, but dominated and got the win in the end, 3-1, and Bet Palace 4-0. So at home, I think Spurs are doing okay. And Watford, you probably have them in the same bracket as any of those teams. But still think Spurs are possibly a little bit short. And, Lloris, obviously, unfortunate injury is going to be gone for a while. And Spurs haven't kept a clean sheet in 6 games in all competitions. So I'd probably go with a Spurs win, but maybe over 1.5 goals. So that gives you a bit of leeway if Watford did nick one or if Tottenham score 2 or 3. But definitely I won't be sticking them in any Akers at 4-11.
Mark, are you giving yourself any time off work to go down there?
Probably not. This is a tough one. I think Tottenham probably will win. Their home form has been good. I mean, take out the 7-2 against Bayern Munich. When again, it was never a 7-2 game, really. Take that out. In terms of the Premier League,
just ignore that.
As Jason says, and I mean, the way Lloris is playing, giving away the goals against Southampton, against Brighton, didn't save any of them shots from Bayern Munich, and there were quite a few from distance that they were put in the corner, but I still think you'd hope your goalkeeper could save a couple of them. It wasn't like they were all one-on-ones against him, so I don't think the way he's playing, it's a massive loss to have Gazzaniga in goal. He's done relatively well whenever he's been called upon by Spurs. The bet I liked was Heung-Min Son to score first. him and Kane tend to play up front together at White Hart Lane. And then if you have a look at non-penalty goals, I mean, Kane is obviously brilliant when it comes to taking the penalties. But since Son has come back from suspension, he's actually outscored Kane in sort of goals that are not penalties, 3-2. And I think they're playing together up front, and I'd have them much closer in the betting, I think, together. But they're not. Kane, obviously, a short price favourite. And I think Son, as long as he's World Cup exertions, he was playing in the Korea Derby in midweek, I think he would be the way I'd be going. Son to score first.
What was the final score of the Korean Derby?
Nobody knows. Nobody was there. But it was 0-0. 0-0.
0-0. We'll take a 0-0. Dan, you had some luck on the first goal scorer mark in a Spurs game earlier on in the season, didn't you?
Yeah, that
you
was
went
Son.
Through the card.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Son was
against Palace, wasn't it? Son against Palace.
Going for it again?
No, not. I think there'll be. It'd be goals. I'm going to go Spurs to win and both teams to score. I think the first goal is going to be big here because whoever concedes it, you just feel they're going to be feeling like, oh God, here we go again. Whether it's Spurs or Watford at the moment, but I think neither team's looking great at the back at the moment. Spurs got that, you know, Kane and Son threat against a Watford defence. I know they kept a clean sheet against Sheffield United, but I still wouldn't trust it. At the other end, I watched the Watford-Sheffield United game after they brought Deulofeu on. Don't know why he didn't start, but they did look more of a threat then. Welbeck is getting fitter, so there is a bit of a threat there. Deulofeu and Welbeck as a front two over the season could get a few goals, and I think they could be key to scoring, but I think Spurs will have too much overall.
Yeah, some really tough games to call this week. If you've got any fancies, let us know down in the comments section below or drop us a tweet at Racing Post. The final 3 o'clock kickoff on the Saturday is Wolverhampton Wanderers against Southampton. Jason, how are Paddy Power pricing this one up?
Yeah, Wolves 4-5, the draw 5-2, and Southampton 7-2.
Mark, what are we thinking here?
This is the sort of game where I don't want to be back in Wolves because we've seen it since they came up to the Premier League that, you know, I think they're a better outsider than they are favourite. Did brilliant, of course, won at 25-1 at Man City, and last season they were, you know, just relentless against the bigger teams. But I think Southampton are probably playing better than the league table suggests, and Wolves have had 4 draws in 8 this season, so the draw for me.
Very nice. Dan?
Yeah, got very, very similar. I'm going to go even a step further and say Southampton all draw, double chance. I just think there's been a bit of an overreaction to one match form, if you like. I mean, Wolves, I know they'd won the game against Watford previously, but then that magnificent performance at Manchester City, I think a lot of people would have got a little bit carried away. There is a trend last season and this season that they're picking up as many points against teams inside the big six against teams outside the big six. Southampton have won 4 of the last 5 away games. 2 of them were in the EFL Cup, but they've got reasonable away form. Counter-attacking threat with Nathan Redman. Danny Ings has got 4 goals in his last 3 games. There's enough there for Wolves to be concerned about, and I think Southampton will get at least a point.
Jason, you concerned for Wolves here?
No, the opposite, actually. I'd be quite sweet on them for this game. They've won their last 4 in all competitions. And they got late goals. You know, Palace were down to 10 men. They got a late winner in Besiktas. And, you know, the goals against Man City came late in the day. I was reading a very good article on the preparation they did as soon as that game in Turkey finished on the Thursday night to get ready for the City game. You'd like to think that all Premier League teams are doing that. But if they're not, you know, that's going to make a bit of a difference, give Wolves a bit of an edge over the course of a season. So I think the club was well run. I think they're in very good shape. Diego Jota is missing or was missing the last 4 games. If he comes back, I think he's an improvement on Cutrone, who is a young player himself. But, you know, they do miss Jota when he's not there. But just really disappointed with Southampton so far this season. They've lost their last 3, haven't won yet at home. Dan says about their away form, but the 2 games that they won the league this season, away to Brighton were down to 10 men and still dominated the game for over an hour. And the Sheffield United result, I think they won 2-1, but McGoldrick missed 2 great chances for Sheffield United in that game. So I think Southampton, they spent big money on Che Adams as well. They've always struggled for a goal scorer in recent seasons. He was probably running hot there first half of the Championship last year, but didn't finish the season very well, and it probably wasn't the best spent money from what we've seen so far. So just being down on Southampton and being up on Wolves at the moment, I think 4-5 is actually, you know, a pretty good price on Wolves to win this game.
Well, differing opinions there. That's your lot for the 3 o'clock games on Saturday. We'll be back after the break to take you through the evening fixture on Saturday, Sunday's game, the brilliant game on Monday night between Sheffield United and Arsenal, and taking you through the EFL. Back in a minute.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post. Myself, Jack Reeve, joined with Dan Charles and Mark Langdon in the studio and Paddy Power's Jason Murphy on the phone. Right, let's rattle through the rest of these fixtures. It's Crystal Palace versus Man City, 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Jason, how are Paddy Power pricing this up and where are your bets going to lie?
Yeah, Crystal Palace 10-1, the draw 11-2 and Man City 1-5. It all comes down to one player for me, Kevin De Bruyne. If he's on the pitch, I'll happily back Man City half-time, full-time. You'll get about 8 to 11 on it. If he's not, I think they might still struggle to break down a Palace side that's done very well this season. 14 points on the board already. But De Bruyne, he's got 8 assists in 7 games. Like if you're saying 8 goals in 7 games, you're talking about a striker that's in red-hot form. They missed him against Wolves. They won this game 3-1 last season as well, and De Bruyne set up 2 of the goals, an early goal for Sterling that obviously set the tone for the rest of the match. So for me, if De Bruyne is on the pitch, I'd go with Man City half-time, full-time, 8-11. If he's not and the prices stay as they are, I might start looking to lay Man City.
Dan, what about you?
Yeah, I'll go with Man City to win and both teams to score just to boost the price up. I think De Bruyne looks like he'll play some part back in training. Man City might not rush John Stones back. He's been out for longer. I think defensively there's still issues. And Palace are good enough, I think, to score. Like playing on the counter-attack, Wilfried Zaha playing better than early in the season. So City to win and both teams to score.
Definitely. Mark, you can't completely look past Palace here, though, can you?
No, you can't. Well, I can, actually. I'm sorry. I mean, in terms of... I've seen both teams play Tottenham this season, and it's the best team I've seen against them, and I include Bayern Munich in that, and the worst team. Palace were... horrendous at what?
14 points on the table, though.
I've no idea how they've got 14 points. But City to win and both teams to score would be my way of going into this one, because City have got them obvious problems at centre-half. Bournemouth, Norwich, Everton, you know, have all scored against them. They conceded 2 against Wolves. They're under pressure as well now. You know, they've really got to have to sort of rattle off 10 or 11 wins on the trot to reel Liverpool in, or to stand any chance of reeling Liverpool in. And Palace... they do find ways of scoring goals from not creating that much. And on the counter-attack, they are very good. So, yeah, Man City to win and both teams to score.
Palace fans, if you disagree, tweet Mark directly. Super Sunday, Man United versus Liverpool, arguably the best game of the week. Jason, what are Paddy Power pricing this one up at?
Can't believe I'm going to say this. Man United 4-1, draw 11-4, Liverpool 8-13.
Dan, Man United 4-1 at home. That's bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah, I get the feeling that the prices have gone a little bit too far there, but I can't be rushing to back Manchester United. I mean, De Gea and Pogba are both out. Might have Martial back. Let's talk about him being back in the equation. But their lack of goals is just, you know, appalling. I think they've gone 10 games since they last scored more than one goal when they beat Chelsea 4-0 at the start of the season. So the angle I'm going to go here, I think a lot of United's efforts are going to be on trying to stop Liverpool. I think it's going to be a very tight game. So I'll go for the under 2.5 goals. Looks a bet to me at around evens.
Mark, Jason said he couldn't believe he was saying it with them odds out. Can you believe he was saying it?
I can, because if you've seen Liverpool and Manchester United play this season, I think the prices are probably... about right. I can agree with Dan. You know, you have Man United's last 8 have been under 2.5 goals. Would say, though, that Liverpool do struggle to win at Old Trafford. I mean, the disparity now is pretty clear. But, you know, 1 win in 13, even last year, they only had 1 shot on target in that 0-0 draw. And that's, again, a Liverpool team that's clearly better than Manchester United. So the way I'm looking to play this one, I think maybe the unders is a good bet. What I would say, if you fancy a first goal scorer, Mohamed Salah has not scored first in a Premier League game in his last 24 appearances. Now, I've not heard anybody mention that.
That's a great stat.
And if you have a look at Sadio Mane, you have a tenner on Sadio Mane to score first in 2019 in the Premier League, you'd be up nearly £300.
Wow,
so... if you're going to have a bet on any of those two, I mean, you could say Salah's due one, but I would say Mane. They've won 17 in a row, Liverpool. They've scored at least 2 in 16 of those. I think they do deserve to be odds on. If you fancy them, though, maybe Mane rather than Salah in the first scorer.
Jason, with all of that being said, though, and they were very good points, it would be very apt of Manchester United to cause a bit of an upset here and let Manchester City back in the title race, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be to help City, it'll just be help ourselves out, really. I think with Pogba being confirmed as out, whether it's fake news or not, and the injury picked up by De Gea midweek, Liverpool have shortened it a bit this week. And I think they have shortened too much. I think there is value in United plus one. You know, you probably get about 6-5 on that. And it's just Liverpool's record away from home this season. Yes, they've won 4 games in the league, but you mentioned about Burnley, the 2 goals that they got to win that game 3-0. If you go back to the Southampton game, Danny Ings, after he closes down and, you know, gets the first goal for Southampton, misses a sitter to actually, you know, wrap to get a draw of that game. Henderson's mistake as well in the Sheffield United game. And, you know, a couple of marginal offside calls for Chelsea, Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham had chances as well. So I don't think Liverpool's away form has been great. And, you know, they lost away to Napoli as well. And like we said, the 0-0 at Old Trafford last season. And even in Anfield last season, it was 1-1 with 20 minutes to go. And it's a deflected shot from Shaqiri that actually puts Liverpool 2-1 up there. So, you know, I think the market has just gone a bit too far on Liverpool here, and I'd be looking at United at 6-5, I think, plus one there, I think, is a fair bet.
Whatever you say about Liverpool, they just keep on winning, don't they? Right, Monday Night Football, 8 o'clock kickoff. Chris Wilder, Sheffield United taking on Arsenal. Jason, we'll stay with you with your thoughts and also the odds on this.
Yeah, so Sheffield United, we've 11-4. We've the draw at 13-5, and you can get Arsenal at 5-6. I really like Sheffield United. I really like what they've done this season. But their 3 defeats, they've lost by exactly 1 goal. And if you look at Arsenal's 4 away wins this season, it's been by exactly 1 goal as well. I think the market is possibly still a bit big on Arsenal, so therefore I'm looking to side with Arsenal. And I don't think Sheffield United will give up in any game. So I think Arsenal to win, but to win by exactly 1 goal, I think is good value at about 11-4. Lacazette is back training, but I don't think he's going to be back for this game. So for me, there's still value in Aubameyang. We're best priced there at the moment at about 16-5. So I think, you know, he's already got 7 goals in 8 games this season. Absolutely phenomenal finisher. No penalties in that as well. Did his mate a favour, Pepe, by giving him a penalty against Villa. So Aubameyang, first goal scorer, is a good bet. Or Arsenal win by exactly 1 goal.
Down Sheffield United 11-4. They're no mugs at Bramall Lane.
Yeah,
good value to me.
I think the match result prices are about right. I'm going to same bet as Jason. Aubameyang, I think at 7-2 is a bet. The thing I'd say about Sheffield United, they're a team. I think they dominated the game when I watched them against Watford last time. The 0-0, and the 3 best chances went to Watford. I think that could be a theme through the season. A lot of the time they often look like they're outplaying sides, but they haven't often got that quality in the final third that other teams have got to open sides up. So I think this could be the decisive factor here. They do press high, Sheffield United. Arsenal will have their chances on the break, and Aubameyang's pace and movement. He's got 7 goals in 8 games this season. I think 7-2 first scorer is overpriced.
Mark?
I'm going to go for Sheffield United. I'll draw a double chance in this one. Arsenal, still not totally convinced about them away from home. 30-odd shots Watford had against them. They've only lost to Liverpool, so I think you have got to respect that. But, I mean, the Arsenal fans I speak to, I'll try not to speak to too many of them, but the ones I do speak to are still not convinced by Unai Emery at all. And, you know, there's been a lot of discontent. Half-time at Aston Villa, half-time at Old Trafford, you know, so not sure they're playing quite as well as what the league table would suggest. And I quite like the way that Sheffield United dealt with Liverpool and, you know, what is one of the few teams that's got a better front three than Arsenal. And they kept them relatively quiet. It was only really the Henderson mistake that eventually cost them. So if you can deal with Liverpool, I think you can deal with Arsenal. And so I'm going to go for Sheffield United not to lose. And I think Bramall Lane Monday night for a big game like Arsenal, It's that kind of cliche game that Arsenal have tended to struggle in. So I'll stick with the cliches.
Yeah, sure to be buzzing there. Right, that's all of the Premier League fixtures wrapped up. If you want the boys' other fancies, then head over to the Rating Post Sport website or buy the newspaper and you can see the pullout in there. Let's get your naps of the week. Paddy Power will be doing an enhanced treble on this on their website. The links to that will be in the description. Jason, let's rattle through these. What is your nap of the week?
For me, I'm going for Wolves for reasons outlined earlier. I just think Southampton are in a bad place at the moment. Wolves are heading in the right direction. So for the purposes of this nap, I go with Wolves. I just give a shout out to Ajax 6-5 at home to Chelsea next week. Just looks wrong to me. But for the purpose of the special in this weekend, we'll go with Wolves to win at home against Southampton.
Wolves go in the enhanced treble, Dan.
I can't see past Bournemouth to beat Norwich. I just think King and Wilson are going to have a field day against that injury-ravaged Norwich back defence.
I'm tossing and turning here because there's five teams I like. None of them really, really strong. I mean, I think Oxford are overpriced. I think Plymouth are overpriced. I like Atalanta and Freiburg. I'm going to stick, though, with West Brom to win Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough were absolutely awful last time out against Birmingham. Four times they hit the woodwork. And, you know, if you give up chances to Dean Garner and Pereira and Charlie Austin, players like that, I think you're going to come unstuck. Really struggling at the moment, Jonathan Woodgate. And I think that the Baggies are a decent bet.
There we go. Then if you want to dabble on that, head over to the Paddy Power website. Links in the description or on their football specials page on the website. Thanks to Dan, thanks to Mark, and thanks to Jason on the phone. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please don't forget to rate us on wherever you're listening. Give it a like on YouTube if you're watching on there. We'll be back next week. Bruce will be back tomorrow for the racing podcast. And until then, we'll see you very soon. Bye-bye.